Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, August the 18th. It's raining here in North Texas. It looks like it's going to rain much of the day. There are some pockets of time, like between 3 and 7. It's not going to rain in our area, but overall, one of those rainy days in Texas. Not too often it rains in Texas in the middle of August, at least not here in North Texas. Well, Afghanistan continues to be the one topic that just dominates the news cycle. And the current story, of course, is that we're trying to get people out. You know, there are thousands of Americans there, sometimes mixed in with Afghanis, you know, I suppose marriages or whatever. And, you know, they're not getting out. They're certainly not getting out at a pace that is satisfactory to most people because, again, this whole thing was done in such a chaotic way. I mean, if you're going to have a transition like this, if you're going to get out of a country like this, well, first of all, you don't publicize it. You don't say, gee, you know, we're going to get out by such and such a date. I mean, you start doing it gradually. You start moving some people here and there and start planning their departures. But you don't say from, you know, one day to the other we're leaving. And you certainly don't walk away and leave all this equipment behind. I mean, we have given up billions of dollars in military equipment that we're leaving behind. I don't know why we're not bombing all that equipment, by the way. I don't know why we aren't just sitting there bombing it. Maybe I understand why. Maybe it's because they don't want to risk the lives of the people who are there who may become hostages or whatever. So I guess I understand that. But, I mean, we're navigating right now through a very, very difficult period in Afghanistan because we're basically trusting the Taliban. I mean, that's what it comes down to. We're trusting the Taliban that these people are going to be able to get to the airport and take off. Because, I mean, if you just think of what's happening right now in Kabul, we're in the airport, and that's the one piece of real estate that we can safely control. I mean, we've got a lot of troops there. They're well-armed. So I have no doubt that these troops can defend the airport, and I assume we've got air power that could come in and neutralize the situation. But if you're outside the airport, you're totally in the hands of the Taliban. They're going to determine whether or not you can move or anywhere you can go. And that's the problem, that there are lots and lots of Americans. You know, I've read as many as 5,000 who are 10,000, even another report. You know, these are people who live in Afghanistan or people who, for whatever reason, are there. Could be work. It could be, you know, maybe they married a person, you know, an Afghan woman or an Afghan man or whatever. And they've been living there. And these people, obviously, you want to get them out. But again, you just think of the situation that we're in. You've got the airport. And that's the real estate that you control. And everything outside that airport is in the hands of the Taliban. It's a pretty scary situation. You also have a lot of ammunition on both sides of that airport. You've got very well-armed U.S. soldiers who are obviously very capable of defending themselves. And then you've got, on the other hand, Taliban with lots and lots of weapons, a lot of them weapons that they picked up from us. I mean, you have a situation there that could explode at a moment's notice. It could explode into some very nasty things. So let's just hope for the best. Let's hope for the best. But once again, whether you agree or disagree with pulling the troops out. Now, I happen to be one of those who felt that we should have left a residual force. I think that a residual force of 2,000 or 3,000 soldiers in Afghanistan was enough for us to be in the neighborhood, for us to be there and keep an eye on China, keep an eye on Iran, Pakistan. I mean, Afghanistan by itself doesn't mean a heck of a lot, but it is an interesting piece of real estate when you look at the map. When you look at the neighbors of Afghanistan, it's not a bad idea to have a military presence there. So you keep a few thousand troops there in Afghanistan, and then, of course, you have air power to project whatever power you need beyond that. But it's all gone now. And I think, as I said, whether you agree or disagree with the war, or whether you agree or disagree with me that we should have kept a residual force, there's no question that the way we've done this is just absolutely horrific. I mean, I just don't know what else to say. Just an absolute horrible execution of a plan. Now, of course, the big question is, what does this all mean for President Biden? You know, how badly shaken is President Biden? I think this has really been a very tough blow to the Biden presidency. When you know, you got gasoline prices, you've got the situation on the border, and now this situation in Afghanistan. And I think pretty soon people are going to start looking at this presidency and saying, a lot of things didn't have to happen here. A lot of things were brought to you by some very bad decisions that this president made, whether it was the pipeline and some of the decisions to go after the exploration of oil, whether it was the border, and now Afghanistan. I mean, just a lot of things that didn't have to happen. I mean, just think for a second, what if President Biden had taken a different posture from the very beginning? What if he had said, no, I'm not going to open the border right now because we're in the middle of a pandemic? Who's going to argue with that? I mean, some fanatics would argue with him, but I think most Americans would understand that you don't open the border. Speaking of gasoline, what if he had said, no, I'm not going to cancel the pipeline because I don't want to blow a bunch of jobs, and at the same time, I don't want to create a situation where the price of gasoline goes up at a time when we're trying to recover from the pandemic. Who would argue with that? Nobody. And then, of course, Afghanistan, you can say, well, look, we want to get out, but we got to do it right. Who would argue with that? So it's just a very bad situation. These are all self-inflicted wounds. And then when you add to all of this the image of a president who seems disconnected, I mean, just totally disconnected from reality. The image of a man who's all by himself, as we saw in that photograph, and as this is not the way other presidents have handled crises. Other presidents would have been in the White House on Saturday. They would have canceled their vacation and gone to the White House on Saturday, would have addressed the nation on Sunday. So he doesn't look very good. He doesn't look good. He doesn't look like a man who's in charge. And that's not the image you want to have if you're the president. We're going to take a little break, and I'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. I have a post over at the American Thinker Wednesday morning where I'm talking about what happened in 2020 and the media and how the media basically let then-candidate Joe Biden get away with a campaign where he was just sitting at home, not answering questions, not having to campaign, not having to do press conferences. Even when they had him in front of the press, it was a very selected situation where the campaign was really controlling the candidate. They were not giving the candidate or giving the reporters the kind of give and take that we see so much during the campaigns. And I whether the media did this on purpose or not, I cannot prove that. But there's no question the media was obsessed with President Trump. There's no question about that. All their energies and all their attention were with President Trump. Now, maybe they thought that President Trump was going to win anyway and that the Biden campaign would be largely forgotten a week after the election. Maybe that's what they thought, so why waste their time with Joe Biden? But what really happened, though, is that the American people did not have a chance to see Joe Biden answer some difficult questions about the kinds of policies he was going to implement. You know, he was presented to us as a moderate, but he's kind of running the country like Bernie Sanders. I mean, the policies, domestic policies, are very similar to Bernie Sanders, and I think some of the foreign policies are somewhat similar to Barack Obama. So you have to really wonder whether the media did the country a service or not. I don't think it did. I think it allowed Joe Biden to get away with a campaign of avoiding issues, avoiding questions. And I think now we're beginning to realize the problems that this man has. And a lot of that would have come out during the campaign. I'm pretty sure that if he had been forced to answer questions and deal with the media head on, like most candidates do, that I think a lot of these problems that he has talking or answering questions would have come out. But now we're stuck with him. He's the president. And I think a lot of people are having second thoughts about that. And I hope the media is going to start asking him some questions, because they didn't during the campaign. And as I say, they didn't do a good job, I think. They didn't do a good job for the American people the way they handled themselves in that campaign. By the way, the vice president is off to Vietnam, I understand. I just saw that. That's kind of, when you think about that for a second, everybody's talking about, you know, Afghanistan being another Vietnam. I mean, why would you send the vice president to Vietnam this week? I'm sure they planned it months ago, but the timing or the looks of it is not the best. There is a member of the British Parliament who got up and gave a great speech saying that, or really attacking President Biden for saying that the soldiers, the Afghan soldiers, didn't fight. And, you know, 50,000 of them were killed in fighting the Taliban here in the last 5 or 6 years. So to say that they didn't fight is really not fair. And this member of the British Parliament gave a great speech remembering many of the men that he fought along with, and simply saying that he was angry to see President Biden question the valor and the heroism of many of those men. As I say, 50,000 were killed by the Taliban in conflict, because pretty much after 2014, 2015, it was the Afghans who started doing a lot of the fighting. The American troops began to pull back to the point that we had about 3,000 troops until a few months ago. So I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see that member of the British Parliament get up and criticize President Biden, because I don't think it's right to say that the Afghans did not want to fight. I think that is very unfair of President Biden to make a statement like that. Well, here in Texas, a couple of interesting developments. First of all, the governor, Governor Abbott, has come down with COVID. Now, the interesting thing, of course, is that he's vaccinated. So he got the vaccine whenever it was, and he gets COVID. And how he got it, well, there's all kinds of speculation. You never really know how you get COVID. Now, a lot of the people in the media are trying to make a connection between the fact that he got COVID and a political event that he went to a couple of days. I don't know how you can make that connection, honestly. And then that sounds to me more like politics than anything else, because you can get COVID in so many different ways. But he was vaccinated. I mean, Governor Abbott was vaccinated, and he got COVID. So that's the, you know, a lot of people are asking themselves that question. Gee, I get it again, and I've been vaccinated for it, you know, so what is the vaccination good for? Look, I have the vaccination. I took them back in April, but I'm beginning to realize right now that I could get COVID even though I'm vaccinated. That's kind of a difficult thing to accept. Well, the Texas Supreme Court said yes to the idea that these Democrats could be arrested. These are the Democrats who left town to avoid participating in our legislative session, and this had been one of these things going around the courts. Well, it finally made its way to the Texas Supreme Court, and the Texas Supreme Court said, yes, they can be arrested. And I don't know whether they will be or not. It would be interesting if they were. We've never seen anything like that before. But I do wish these Democrats would stop playing games and get back to their job of legislating, because, look, you know, they're not just delaying this vote on voting rights, but they're also delaying a lot of other things that are on the agenda. You know, it just seems to me that it would be good for these Democrats to get to work and do the job they have to do. If they disagree with, the voting integrity law, that's fine. They can write their own law and campaign for that law the next time. They can do that. Nobody's stopping them, but they should get to work. And let's finish the session. I think everybody would like to see that happen. Well, what a news day. I mean, it seems like everything is happening in the world all at once. We wish Governor Abbott a quick recovery from COVID, of course. We understand that he's doing well, so that's a good sign. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.